One of the areas that that you oversee is Parks and Rec.
Yes, sir.
Daryl was in just a couple of weeks ago. I had never met him before.
Uh-huh.
Really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the concept of developing parks as a city's population grows and changes.
Sure. First, we work with developers, and so that's part of the process. The other thing that we do is we have a parks master plan, and we're actually going through that process right now, so it's very timely for us. The parks master plan helps guide us and direct us in an area in areas where we believe that parks will be needed in the future. And as development occurs, of course, that plays a significant role, but we rely on that parks master plan as well as working with developers.
You know, Kevin was talking a couple of weeks ago. He was driving out near Welburn, and there was a teeter-totter, a seesaw there, and his daughter, who's 9, didn't know what that was, and so they stopped and played on it.
Uh-huh.
Again, then that got us off to thinking about the kind of things that we grew up playing on are not part of the world of
it's
parks and playgrounds.
A lot. It really has.
What's the driving force behind that? What kind of problems or good situations?
Liability.
Yeah.
You know, it just comes down to the city has to protect its interest, and certainly we have to make sure we're good stewards. Unfortunately, that does mean that sometimes some of those things that we grew up with are no longer in parks, and I certainly miss those. And if you go to some smaller, older cities, sometimes I travel back. We have family in southeastern Kansas. You know, we enjoy some of those old things that may still exist in certain parts of the country.
Yeah, and it is. It's unfortunate because, again, they have the same liability that the city of Bryan does. It's just a matter of the point of view is a little bit different.
Well, point of view and as well as resources. They may not have the resources to change out what they have.
Sure. Another thing that Bryan is doing more is implementing water when it comes to entertainment. Talk a little bit about that. Not only the swimming pools, but splash pads and that sort
of
thing.
Sure. Well, the splash pads, of course, are some of the newer activities that we've offered. But we are looking very closely at our pools. We are working on a new pool for Sadie Thomas. That's in the permitting process. And we really hope that we stick to that schedule, which means it'll be open come Memorial Weekend. And the contractor hopes to break ground sometime this month, and so we're moving forward with that. The other big project that we are looking at is with the Bryan Aquatic Center, and so that's the pool over by Bryan High. There are some improvements that need to be made there. We have an engineer under contract now to see what sort of improvements we can get done with the funds that are available, and so that's somewhere between the $600,000 to hopefully council will say, you know, we can give you a little bit more, so maybe up to $1 million. But that's a project that will actually close that pool down for a short period of time.
Oh, really?
Yes,
some of your swimmers aren't going to be happy about that.
They will not be, but the improvements that are being suggested are those that really need to be done. It's for safety. Better water quality will take care of the filter and the circulation system and the gutters. So those sort of things that really need to be done. You just have to maintain a pool every now and then.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a real cost. Hugh Walker here this morning from the city of Bryan. So if the timeline holds, when do we think that facility would probably not be available for public access?
Well, and that's what we just don't know yet. We want more information from the engineer. It will either be before the summer swim season, and we're getting, you know, every day we get closer to that. And so I'm going to predict it'll probably be after the 2016 summer swim season, and we're going to have to work real closely with the school district because that certainly impacts events that will coincide with school.
Sure. Well, you know, and folks who have kiddos who swim competitively, the discussion of the word natatorium has certainly come up more in College Station than in Bryan as a quality of life situation, which then leads me into Carl Mooney, who's a member of the College Station City Council, mm-hmm. is working very hard to see what the YMCA can do to implement some facilities here in Bryan College Station. Talk to me a little bit about what the YMCA has done as far as interfacing with Bryan.
Sure. We actually have somebody, and that's Daryl Lublett with our Parks Department. He's actually involved in that committee. They have presented information to our city council in a workshop. So they've kept us informed, and Dr. Mooney certainly has done an excellent job providing information and keeping communication flowing between the two cities, as well as a multiple number of other entities, including the school districts and other folks. So information is flowing.
What looks attractive to you that they have to offer?
Well, you know, of course, they can come in and provide programming, and that's, I think, usually where the why starts, is coming in and maybe through a storefront offering some different types of programming, and programming is certainly important. We want to make sure that we address needs in this community. But the discussion of a natatorium or a pool or some sort of facility that's more than just a storefront is certainly involved. That's probably a little further down the road. I don't know if that means several years or 5 or 10 years, but I think at first the why would just like to come in and get a feel for the community and see what the future could lead to.
Sure. One of the other items or areas that you oversee is the golf course.
Yes, sir.
It's had a higher profile in years past. Tell me where we are with the Travis Bryan Golf Course right
sure.
now.
Sure. I think it's operating as well as it ever has. We try to be as cost-conscious as we possibly can be, but still provide a good place to enjoy golf. I unfortunately have not been out golfing in the last few months, but the conditions typically, our staff just does a tremendous job with the resources that they have available. We have a green superintendent that does a wonderful job out there. And from a player standpoint, I think, and it's probably one of the more enjoyable courses, certainly for the price that you pay.
Right. Hugh Walker joining us from the City of Bryan. Some of the things you oversee are probably not on the radar screen of the general public. That'd be risk, that'd be human resources, that'd be facilities. What have you seen among your responsibilities that's changed the most, say, in the last 5 years as Bryan's changed?
Oh, boy. Probably an increase in trying to provide more information to employees. Now, setting aside the public side of that, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. That's in a different discussion.
The City of Bryan is an employer.
Right. And so as we work with the younger generation, it seems like they like more and more information.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us to find ways to do that, and that's certainly where Gina comes in, we try to use other mediums that we haven't typically used. And getting information of all varieties to employees is important because they just like to know what's going on.
Sure. I can remember a year ago we were talking to Kelly Templin from the City of College Station talking about when we were in the middle of the oil boom, it's hard for a governmental entity to pay the kind of salaries that are out there and available.
Right.
So now as you look at this, things have quieted down a little mm-hmm. bit, but still it's a competitive situation. And not necessarily talking about heads of departments, but when it comes to the filling in of the people that you need day-to-day operations, what kind of challenge is that bringing you?
Well, and you're right. Depending on what's going on in the community, when the oil boom's going on, it's extremely competitive, and we're usually losing employees and then trying to fill those gaps. Right now, it's just a matter of making sure that we hire the very best employees that we possibly can, and it's always competitive. We try to provide good information to those that might be interested. Police and fire, it's always difficult. We try to be as diverse as we possibly can be, and just encouraging folks from a wide, diverse part of the population to mm-hmm. apply for positions.
Sure, absolutely. Understand that. Well, you used to ping pong this back and forth. Who was the Uber guy? We finally decided you're the Uber guy, and I know that it was recently as this week the council's looking at this, and I guess you want to kind of lock hands with College Station and do the same thing they do, because that would be problematic otherwise. But where do you see the city being at Uber, and what are the things that day-to-day you're having to take into account there?
Sure. First of all, what we want to try to do is level the playing field as much as possible for taxi companies and for transportation network companies. And so we presented information to the City Council this last Tuesday, and what they ask us to do is bring back an ordinance that does that as much as possible. And you're right, it's best if the two cities' ordinances mirror one another as much as possible. Somebody said, will it be word for word? No, our ordinances are never word for word because we have just different ways of doing it.
Sure.
But what we will bring back to the council is an ordinance that as closely as possible resembles what College Station is doing. That makes it certainly easier for both types of companies, so both transportation network companies or Ubers, as well as for taxis or vehicles for hire.
Yeah.